Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Well met, fellow adventurers. We are back with Sir Croakington. And we're going to be continuing the Whispered Madness saga with the adventure called In Bleakest Winter, which is in Warfoot in Eastern Tysa. Haven't been there in a while. It's not a super popular quest location. It's no Hawklaw or Trithic, where things just keep happening. But it's had a few things happen. Visit Warfoot. We've been there before, but it's been a while, so I'll read the village description. Snug against the dense evergreen forest that serves to mark the boundary between the Grey Warren's eastern lowlands and the foothills of the Ulspun Mountains, the village of Warfoot appears upon first glance to be little more than a disparate collection of wood and stone structures. A towering statue of Seer stands in the centre of the remote settlement. The inhabitants of Warfoot are instinctively distrustful of strangers, but fiercely loyal to those they respect or choose to befriend. And perhaps I'm one of them, one of the Grey Warrens. This remote corner of Eastern Tysa is a largely untamed region of hilly evergreen forests snug against the foothills of the Ulspun Mountains. There are a few scattered settlements throughout Grey Warren. What are the Ulspun Mountains? This vast mountain range spans nearly the entire eastern flank of the Kingdom of Tysa and serves as the natural border between Tysa and Warsaw. Now, presumably, if they found anything really nice in these mountains, they'd have to be a bit more Pacific. But they haven't, so we can just say these mountains somewhere. We don't have to build a border because it's medieval times, we don't really have straight borders yet. Several passes, high amidst the towering peaks of the imposing range, offer passage between the two kingdoms. For the daunting prospect of attempting to transverse the perilous gaps has seen to it that the paths are infrequently travelled. I'm guessing if you want to trade between Tysa and Warsaw, you just get on a ship and you can just go round the mountains. Presumably you get on a ship and then you sail down various rivers until you get to rivers, probably a few canals as well. Until you get to Trithic, and then you're the Wither Twinned, and that gets you most of the kingdom. Or maybe you just drop it off at Port Halleck or Pakwur or was it Charna? Whichever was the one in Proving Grounds 2. Drop it off there and someone else will sell it on. Or who knows. Definitely very boat-centric, the trade between the kingdoms. Even though they're right next to each other. Because the land route is awkward. Legends tell of a series of deep tunnels that pass beneath the mountains, connecting Tysa and Warsaw. The tunnels are said to have been constructed during the Age of Storms by a race of giants who have long since vanished. One of the tallest peaks in the Ulspuns is Mount Kurigan. I'm not going to click on that because this is not time to get lost in the lore book. Just click on the things. Okay. Alright, so you can visit the Wesley Inn and Smithy. I've certainly done that before. There's the massive claw-shaped standing stone. That was all building up hype. That was building up hype for the Kickstarters, and that was a few years ago. Ventures for this location, anyhow. Oh, wait. First, save. And now we begin in bleakest winter. Whispered Madness Adventure, the largest of the beasts. Its wagged grey pelt spattered with the blood streaming from its fearsome jaws, lowers its head and begins to circle, its dark eyes blazing like fire through the curtain of wind-driven stone. Start the adventure. Begin. And here's the quotes. Yes. Yeah, it's the same quotes as we've had in all the other ones. Midwinter, late afternoon, in a snow-swept forest road in the wild heart of Greywarn. The largest of the beasts, its waggish grey pelt pattered with blood streaming out of its fearsome jaws, lowers its head. Wait. Lowers its head and begins to circle. I lost my place for a bit. Its dark eyes blazing like fire through the curtain of wind-driven snow. At your side, his bloodied left arm hanging limp. Mordworth curses and directs your attention to the west of the walls. Now slowly emerging from the frozen pines. You count 9 of the fell creatures. Okay, I think I can handle that. Unless they're somehow mystically strong. Behind you, the edge of the road, lies smouldering remnants of a coach. The coach, destroyed by the magical fire of the woman whose sudden appearance in the road brought the wagon to an abrupt and fatal halt. You are Moldruff, the personal guard of a merchant killed in the fiery attack, are the only survivors. The driver, his guard, and the 4 passengers that shared the carriage with you are dead. Victims of either the initial blast or the inferno it induced. Really should have stopped that, but I guess it's a surprise attack which means it can't be stopped because it's plot-driven. Where the hag got to? Marlo growls, drawing his sword in the direction of the 9 winter wolves, now moving to encircle you. These beasts are her creation. I'll cut her when I find her! Steady! Winter wolves. These large wolves, nearly twice the size of their lesser kin, are typically found in colder, frozen climates. Through their domains are vast and varied. That kind of makes sense. It's Bergam's law. It's a tendency. Just a tendency. It's not fixed that... The further north you go and the colder it gets, the bigger the creatures become. That's why polar bears are the biggest bears. Huskies are some of the biggest dogs. Although with dogs, breeding has just messed up any semblance of natural selection having any effect. And I think there's probably some more examples. In winter or in cold climates, the fur of these wolves is stark white, while at other times it is deep grey. Aggressive and intelligent, winter wolves hunt in packs and like to encircle and assail large prey in unison, tactically timing their attacks to overwhelm a foe's defences. Legends has it that being winter... bitten by a winter wolf and living to tell the tale, makes the victim especially susceptible to the effects of cold. Winter wolf pelts are renowned for their ability to insulate and thus prized by furriers. Maybe I should remember that. Come round later, get the pelts. Or maybe just direct someone who knows what to do with them, say, hey, there's 9 winter wolves I've killed, maybe you could pick up the pelts, maybe make me some nice gloves next time I have to go somewhere cold, because I do not want cold hands. It's really bad. Baldur's rage is palpable and justified. The merchant by whose side he long and loyally stood is dead, her charred corpse, like the rest of the victims of the magical fire attacks, lie heaped amidst the coach's smoking remains. Unwilling to let your anger over the cowardly ambush cloud your junctions, you swiftly order him to hold his ground and remain focused on the more immediate threat. The nine wolves lusting to set upon you with fang and claw. Eh? He grumbles, wincing. We'll give this lot something to remember us by. You know, to the all dead. It won't be long. Your pulse quickens as the pack of winter wolves emerges into a series of ghastly howls. Mordorf curses and draws himself into defensive stance, tenderly favouring his wounded arm as his steely gaze settles upon the encircling pack. With a grim snarl, the nearest of the massive wolves suddenly bounds towards you with the sinister grace of a predator on the hunt. All right, although I suspect the reason they're going after me is not they want to eat me, more they have been directed and influenced and controlled by more powerful and more sentient forces. Probably that witch or hag. Begin combat anyway. Massive winter wolf. The massive winter wolf savagely tears at your flesh with its deadly fangs. You know, as wolves are prone to do, apparently. Or at least in video games. How would I go into battle rage? Hey! Don't eat me! I'm probably poisonous. Never really checked out. I've never really went to a herpetologist. Oh, wait. Would amphibians be herpetologists? Or whoever it is that studies amphibians. And found out exactly what kind of toad I've been turned into. Probably should at some point, but I haven't got round to it. You've slain your foe. Anyhow, I don't like being bitten. I prefer my blood to stay on the inside. 24 XP. The wolf topples over, splattering the whole snowy ground with a profusion of blood. He moves to Mordred's side, eager to help him fend off the three wolves now surrounding him. Only to have your path suddenly blocked by another of the savage beasts, a massive winter wolf. Alright, just bashing it up. Bash, 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 bash. Well, actually, I'm using Tiara's staff, so it's bosh, 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 bosh. 24 XP. Leaping over the carcass, springing over the carcass of the slain creature, you spring forward some more and place yourself between Mordriff and the wolf attempting to move up on his flank. Another massive winter wolf savagely tears at you. Savage bite of your enemy did something. Probably teared into my flesh. Did some damage. 24 XP. The wolf slumps to the ground at your feet, its legs twitching as it succumbs to death. You leap in front of Mordriff, landing directly on the nose of the wolf that's trying to attack him. Ordering your stalwart companion to stay back, you defiantly start poking that wolf right on the noggin. Begin fighting the massive winter wolf. The massive winter wolf tears at your flesh with his deadly fangs. It's nice that they didn't just resort to 1 of 9, 2 of 9, 3 of 9. They've made it a fight sequence rather than one fight, just 9 fights in a row, which you could have gone away with it, but he made it more exciting and dramatic. The savage bite of your enemy tears into your flesh for 9 damage. Bashity bash bash bash, it is slain. 24 XP. The winter wolf staggers back and collapses into a bloodied heap. The creature's legs twitch for several moments before becoming still. Instinctively, he falls back to join Mordorf. The guard, expression betraying equal parts exhaustion and terror, cries out in alarm and motions towards the forest. But you've already seen what just caught his eye. You turn and watch as the five remaining wolves hastily retreat into the woods. After only a few moments, no sign of the beasts remain. "We've broken them," cries Morlif. "I don't know that we'd best linger." Suddenly, a tall young woman in dark robes emerges from the tree line, her pale face gaunt, and her willowy frame draped in a disparate assemble of rags. The woman leans against a tree and stares at you, her thin lips pursed. "It is you, after all," she says, her gaunt but useful countenance dramatically transforming into a grease-riddled visage marked by hints of disease. "I've been seeking you, but I had to be certain. I'm sorry that innocents had to be harmed. You must believe that. I am truly very sorry." "Well, if you were sorry, you probably wouldn't have done it, so you're not sorry enough." For you recognise her to be the same woman whose deadly magical fire destroyed the coach. Everything about her seems somehow different. Mordorath, his voice trembling, curses at the woman, threatening her with death. "You are of no interest to me," she says, flatly waving. It's her that's saying that. "You have no interest to me," she says, flatly waving at him with her left hand. Mordorath's face instantly adopts a horrid ashen hue. He briefly grasps at his throat with both hands before summarily slumping into a motionless heap on the snowy ground. "He's not dead," says the woman, taking a single step from the edge of the world. "No, not yet dead. Whether or not he will die is for you to decide. Perform for me the task of my choosing, and I may allow him to live. For his fate is of no consequence." Suddenly, the woman's form shimmers and becomes translucent before rapidly returning to its original corporeal state. "Yeah, it looks like just, you know, threatening her with death won't work." Her unnerving gaze remains frozen on you. "So I've got several options. I can agree to perform a task for her. Demand she resides Mordwe." She's not going to do it. I mean, that is pretty much the only leverage she could possibly have on someone so much more powerful than her. And so very rich. And so very honourable. "Ask her why she's seeking you and attack her." "I'm going to ask why she's seeking me first." "Oh, you are so inquisitive." "As I've been told," she says, her voice lowering to almost a whisper. "I've been seeking you for this particular task because I've been told to do. I believe you may know our mutual acquaintance. Apparently that acquaintance is Woundskin. I dare say you'd agree that his will is not to be defied. Not by anyone capable of reason." "Are you still capable of reason?" "It's a valid inquiry. I would guess that you are. For I have to say, not all would grant you such a lenient assessment." For a fleeting instant, your thoughts twist into a confusing jumble, only to quickly sort themselves out and return you to what you believe is a rational state of mind. "The insignificant life of the man lying next to you is in your hands," he says. "Perform for me a simple task, and I will allow him to live." "Oh, I guess I have to demand she revives Mulworth. I can't really do anything against her. I can't threaten her because she has to, you know, be alive to do the things. And she knows that. So really, she has the power right now because she can fix him. And I probably could fix him, but in the time it will take me to figure out how, he'd probably be gone, so... But I'm gonna at least try. "As I've just told you," he said, her voice lower than before, "if you perform for me just a small task, I will allow him to live. I'm more than content to let him die. His life, whatever it is worth, is entirely in your hand. So, it's gotten down to these two options. I can perform the task for her, or I can attack her. So, admittedly, performing the task for her is the more conventionally heroic thing, but maybe I'm in more of a punisher mood. Maybe I'm more of a rogue vigilante, just punch the bad guys kind of hero. And I'm not really concerned with making people safe. I'm far more concerned with making sure the evil suffer. And if good people have to suffer to allow that, so be it. So be it indeed. So anyway, as always with these choices, I shall go to random.org. Now, and this is one of those scenarios with a lot of choices. And I mean a lot. A ridiculous amount of choices. Alright. Number two, apparently. Attack her. You hurriedly decide upon a course of action. I can use telekinesis, destruction, elementalism, illusion, shadow magic, archery. Or I could just Zerg rush her. Alright. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 options. Random.org again. Tell me what to do. Number 3. Elementalism. It succeeded. You hastily summon your powerful power of elementalism and attempt to focus on the woman, only to discover you suddenly lack the Neville energy to do so. Oh, bugger. Oh, I think I've just kind of messed up this scenario, because generally everything's a lot more difficult if you don't have Neville Reserve, because you can't heal yourself, you can't blast, you can't just use magic to blast through hard fights, you can't use magic to get through various checks. Everything's harder without magic. Of course, you can go through quite a lot of the game without magic. There's definitely some people who've tried. Although you won't be able to complete Proving Grounds 5. No way, no how. It's impossible. You need to use shadow magic to complete it. So any no magic run you have will end, will have to stop, or just go round Proving Grounds 5. But outside of that, probably make a pretty decent choice. I mean, there are other sources of healing, like the Herald Blade, that could probably help. So there's the Herald Blade, there's the Quebec Elixirs and Quebec Leaves. Although there are very finite amounts, so Quebec Elixirs will not make up. They will not. They just won't. They will not make up for not having healing magic. Because there's a finite amount in the entire game. For reasons. Even though they seem to be a fairly regular item. They're not like relics of a lost empire or anything. They can be made. It's just you've never met the person who makes them. There's no reason to resort to this fortune, she says. I'll give you a final chance to save that fool. Agree to what I ask or his death will be your undoing. So I can agree or refuse. Once again, random.org will tell me what to do. Number 1 to 2. Number 2, I'm refusing. The woman smiles, waves her hand in Mordwiff's direction. The guard's eyes flicker open and then close. For what what will prove to be the last time. Your stubbornness has cost him his last chance at life, she says. And assured that you continue your descent into unfettered madness. You will forever regret what you've done, for as long as you retain enough reason to do so. A sharp pain erupts in your head, and you cry out in agony. Your knees buckle and you slump to the ground, struggling to draw breath. For what seems like an eternity, you lie staring up at the snowy sky, no longer in agony, but unable to move. In fact, you feel nothing at all, save for the incessant gnaw of the biting cold. The falling snow swiftly covers you in a thin blanket of white, forcing you to come to the realization that unless you somehow regain mobility, you're going to slowly freeze to death. Although, perhaps as a toad, I could just, hibernate and then wake up and, oh, it's spring now. I hope the world didn't go to absolute shit while I was napping. You call out to the wag-clad woman, cursing her and demanding she undo whatever sorcery has landed you in the helpless state. But you receive no response. Seems that she is gone.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
At Kroger Pharmacy, care is making it easy to get vaccinated. Care is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. Care is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care is in store. Visit kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.
Mordworth is likely dead, and that you are alone. Slowly, gradually, inexplicably, feeling returns to your body. Oh, it's spring! Awash with relief, you gain enough mobility to stagger to your feet, shaking off the snow that collected on you as you lay motionless. Trembling uncontrollably in the cold, you turn to find your fear regarding Mordred's fate has been realised. The guard who bravely fought at your side is dead, his corpse draped in a frigid blanket of white. There is no sign of his killer, woman who also left you to die. The grim incident in the wilds of Grey Warren forever changes you. In the weeks and months that follow the ambush on the wagon, a firing cat attack that accumulated an encounter with the wag-clad sorceress and the subsequent death of Mordriff, who feels so slipping further into the terrifying grip of lunacy. And of course, there is the guilt over... Wait. Whoever it was that was in the tunnels of... I'm going to have to look that up. Going to have to look up that guy. Yeah, Vark. Yeah, I mean, the guilt over the death of Vark, which was completely avoidable, which I only did just to see what would happen if it happened, and then refused to undo, because I'm not sure what I am, but I don't think it's a good thing. Yeah, that guilt from that is just has laid a wide open gate for the madness to come in. You feel yourself slipping further into the depths of lunacy. Vark! Mordriff! Why did I forsake you for no reason? Oh. A curse upon ye! What a world to permit me to exist still! The hideous geek dreams that plague your restless nights begin to stalk you in your waking hours, callously sweating any semblance of coherent thought you struggle to attain. Always and everywhere, there hovers the ghostly countenance of Mordwiff, and the even more ghostly countenance of Vark. Their stares vacant but accusatory, their whispers deprived and haunting. 3 years and 12 days after the attack, you draw your final laboured breath in a rubbish-strewn alley in Mugspool. No longer certain of your name, your last tortured thoughts mingled with the echoes of a silent war and the gentle softness of a whispered madness. You have been killed. Your adventure has come to an end. Fear not, Sir Croakington. You need only click please continue below to proceed and restore your last save game. A sudden and total darkness. And onto the white of that is a black image of a skull. But all is your adventure has reached an unfortunate end. But all is not lost. You will now be returned to your character Worcester. Click continue below to return to your character Worcester. All right, continue. Back to the character Worcester. Okay. So, in that scenario, don't be a stubborn. Don't be pointlessly stubborn for no reason. Because you just get people killed for no benefit at all. It does lead to a path that's interesting. You get to see that text, but it's not a whole new type of adventure or anything. It's just, it's a bit of text. You probably want to read it if you're a completionist, or you could just listen to what I just said. Then you don't have to do it yourself. But anyhow, all right, just going to quick through this quickly. And then just quick combating all these winter wolves. We've seen all this before, so I don't have to read it again. That is an advantage of having a text-based game. It's that if you know what you're doing, you can get through it very, very, very quickly. Ridiculously quickly. But of course, we've broken them. Here's the woman. Okay, agree to perform the task. The woman smiles and a silvery glow suddenly emanates from her face, momentarily blinding you. When the dazzle fades, her countenance appears more youthful, fuller and seemingly without flaw. Then it is settled. We shall go forth from here together, she says. We'll make sense out of that which is spawned from uncertainty, and by doing so, save both you and your companion. Come. There is much that lies ahead of us, to which your efforts, or lack thereof, may lend a degree of finality. The woman turns and steps into your forest. As you start after her, your surroundings immediately begin to blur. Your surroundings slowly come back into focus, and you start to discover you're no longer in the snowy wilds, but instead in the midst of a tangled bog at the end of a dark, weedy pool, just to your left, flanked by a pair of massive winter wolves, is the wag-clad young woman. She smiles as the walls settle at her feet, her blazing eyes focused on you. "You've nothing to fear from them," she says softly. "You never did. Oh, I assure you, I never did. Before you inquire about what's just happened," she points to the pool. Your eyes immediately follow her finger to the edge of the morass, where you spot an old man making his way up to the water. The old man pauses as he reaches the edge of the pool and stares out at its rippling surface. Despite your proximity to him, he seems to take no notice of you. "It's about to be devoured," says the woman. "He's come here to ponder things that will not again be. Winter's now long gone. Therefore, it's no longer even a memory. You may choose to spare him what will immediately be a gruesome end. But in doing so may ultimately doom him to a far less desirable fate. I will not counsel you further, for the decision is yours to make. Whatever you choose will be what is right." Suddenly, the water at the edge of the pool begins to violently churn. The old man throws up his hands and staggers back from the water's edge as the massive, horned head of a Tuosk rises out of the pool. Yep, there is Tuosk. These powerful serpents, through where these days, still inhabit remote swamplands where they rightfully reign at the very top of the food chain. Unable to stay submerged for hours at a time, the Tuosk will erupt from the water to bewilder and ensnare its unsuspecting prey. There are several varieties of these massive serpents, although the majority of them have green scales. Their heads are adorned with a pair of long white horns that the creature will use to attack. These massive reptiles may grow to nearly 50 feet in length. There are few indeed who have encountered a fully grown Tuosk and lived to tell about it. Well, let's just add two more to that list, or maybe not. Once again, this is all about choices, so I shall just use the old random.org once again for this. Number one to two. Number one, looks like we're being heroic. Rush to the old man's aid. You rush in front of the old man just as the Tuosk lunges at him, defiantly holding your ground. You quickly find yourself locked in a grim battle with the fearsome swamp serpent. And now we're fighting it. You swing your club. The Tuosk lunges at you. Its fanged claws stretch just a little bit wide. They don't have to be that wide because the Crokinji is very small. The savage bite of your enemy tears into your flesh for 24 damage. Well, the smasher wallops it. Keep going. Yeah, I equip back to the spruce smasher at some point. Spit bite again. It's nearly complete. And now slain. 9 XP. That's all. Thought there'd be a bonus for that, but apparently it's just the difficulty XP for this one. You draw back to the water's edge and maintain a defensive stance as the fearsome serpent's dire bellows echo throughout the swamp. Suddenly, a dazzling flash of white light erupts from the surface of the pool, and you discover, much to your bewilderment, the surroundings have begun to blur. Your surroundings come back into focus, and you find you're no longer in the tangled bog. Instead, you're standing at the end of a long, torchlit passage, directly before an iron-banded wooden door. To your left, leaning against the wall, stands the wag-clad woman, still flanked by a pair of winter wolves, who are good boys, and I would pet them, but they probably wouldn't like that. You save the old man? But you're not certain why you did so, are you? Asked the woman in what you're tempted to describe as a taunting tone. I only say your decision was not wrong. Some might have viewed his impending death end as inevitable, deserved even. However, his survival has set into motion events that will lead to the suffering of a great many others. But will it also perhaps stop the suffering of a great many others? Who knows? Or maybe you're just lying. How can it be helped? You attempt to question... Well, I would help with that, you know, by having a talk with him and saying, hey, you get to live now. Try to turn your life around. Because after all, I am completely morally obliged to kill you for no reason. With no consequence at all. Because I'm just unsaving their life. Oh, yeah. that's not a thing. You attempt to question the woman about what she's just revealed. But she only shakes her head in response and points to the door. The passage behind us goes a long way, she says, turning to glance along the torch-lit corridor. But we can pay no mind to it. Nothing of any consequence can be discovered back there. That which matters lies ahead. Now, go through the door and do not attempt to turn back once you've entered. Then, in a low voice, she says something that serves to give you pause. Did you not recognize the wolves? Not the pair here with us now, but the pack that came upon you in the wild. Did you take note of their eyes? Their voices? Did you not understand their rage? It was more than primal ferocity that led them to assail you as they did. They should all have been familiar to you. Even those that chose to abandon the attack. Wait, are these some of the dogs of... the wild dogs of Hawklaw? That reverted back to being wolves under vile sorcery? She pauses, as a fleeting look of despair crosses her face. Long have they circled you, just waiting for an opening, she continues. You did not recognize them, because you've never seen them for what they truly are. The danger that has long stalked you, the vile doubt that never gnaws at your resolve. Friends, accomplices, enemies... they will each be your undoing, and there is likely nothing you can do to prevent it. Suddenly, the woman stumbles back as if overcome by weakness. The pair of wolves at her feet step menacingly towards you, their teeth barred. No! She sternly commands, pressing her white shoulder into the passage wall to support. Our task is done. What is left is not for us to do. The winter wolves, their blazing eyes still fixed on you, slowly retreat to their master's side. You've done what I require of you, she says. Your friend back on the road will live. But I can promise nothing else. Go through the door and do what you feel is necessary. But do not tarry. The Holgerwand is at your heels. Appetite is boundless. She falls silent and appears to have difficulty drawing breath. Just when it appears she's recovered enough to speak, the woman and her two wolves vanish, leaving you alone in the torch-lit passage. As you contemplate your next move, your eyes moving from the door to the seemingly endless passage behind you, a soft whisper breezes into your thoughts. The whispers fade into a silent war that surges through your mind, assailing your psyche, picking a number, bonus of 60, 20 from aura, 20 from mind, 20 from spirit. Got to get 100 or more, pick now. And if I fail, I'll go just a little bit mad, pick now. 145, success. Your mind's current lucidity has been preserved, woohoo! You manage to quell the silent war, allowing reason to again reclaim its rightful spot at the thaw of your thoughts. I think if this adventure had been made more recently, I think it might use the two new stats that are going to appear in the new content of Gloom and I don't know, lucidity or something? You know, that checks your hopefulness and sanity? Alright, something to do with Arcandor and Zarfmore. I'm gonna check some things. Yeah, I can't seem to find anything. Well, anyhow, I'm pretty sure there was a new stat that's going to be in the expansions that would be altered by this, so it'd be more on the surface what's changed, and also it would be able to be preserved between adventures, and there'd be ways to affect it. And generally, being a more formal system, you'd be able to, you know, do more with it. You managed to quell the Silent War, allowing reason to again reclaim its rightful spot at the thaw of your thoughts. Alone in the torchlit passage, you begin to recall some of what the strange woman told you before she abruptly vanished. The passage behind us goes a long way, but we can pay no mind to it. Nothing of any consequences to be discovered back there. That which matters lies ahead. Now, go through the door. Do not attempt to turn back once you've entered. With her words playing in your mind, you carefully consider your next course of action. Well, I'm going to be contrary again and head back along the torchlit passage. As you turn to head along the torchlit corridor, a sense of weariness watches over you, making every step a laborious endeavour. After covering an over few yards, you must completely spent. Oh, that must mean there's something really nice at the other end. Otherwise, why would they try so hard to stop me from getting it? Gasping with sweat, dripping down your brow, but doing some toady equivalent to that, you turn and gaze back longingly at the iron-banded door. So I can press along the passage, which seems like it's a bad idea, or I can return to the door and open it. Now press along the passage, ignoring your growing fatigue and the extreme exertion required for each step. You continue down the corridor, making what you discern to be slow but steady progress. After several minutes, you cause to catch your breath and rest your weary limbs, wiping the sweat wiping away the extra ooze that has somehow ended up on me. You turn and glance back at the door, horrified to discover you're no further from it than you were a minute ago. Your immediate sense of bewilderment descends into panic as you struggle to make sense of reality seemingly bereft of reason. So I continue along the passage, which doesn't seem to be going anywhere, and also is absolutely wrecking me both physically, mentally, and also spiritually. Alright. Continue along to the passage. You move along the torchlit passage, labouring at every step. Again, pausing to catch your breath and to allow the aching in your limbs to subside, you turn to glance back in the direction of the door. Much to your dismay, you're no further from it than when you first started along the corridor. Despite this unsettling realization, you remain steadfastly determined to continue on your present course. You continue on, but with every step it feels as if a heavier weight has been added to your back. Ignoring the compulsion to laugh, you slowly and laboriously continue to place one foot in front of the other. I mean, it's so hard I'm not even springy anymore. You move along the torchlit passage, labouring at every step. Again, pausing to catch your breath and trying to allow that ache in your limbs to subside. You turn back in the direction of the door. Much to your dismay, you're no further from it when you first started along it. Despite this unsettling realization, you remain steadfastly determined to continue on your present course. I can only continue. You continue on, but your every step feels as if a heavier weight has been added to your back. because it's only a matter of time until it crushes me. Ignoring the compulsion to laugh, you slowly and laboriously continue to place one foot in front of the other. Okay, here's the same passage again. Well, much to dismay, you're no further from it than when you started along the corridor. And the same again. Steadfastly determined to continue your present course. One foot in front of the other. No further along. One foot in front of the other. At last. Unable to gather the strength required to take another step, you collapse in the centre of the passage. For what seems like an eternity, you lie with your face pressed against the stone floor, struggling to breathe, and increasingly incapable of forming a single rational thought, and barely able to form irrational thoughts. Even the grim realisation you're going to die in this unknown place, unable to reach a door only a few yards distant, is it enough to stave off the laughter? Loud and long, does the sound of your maniacal mirth echo along the torch-lit hall, its maddening din your sole companion? Until that fateful moment you thankfully draw your breath and expire. Exhausted beyond measure, and deranged beyond all reckoning. You have been killed by your own stupidity. I mean, you had several chances to turn back. And you deliberately said, there is nothing there. And you should have known. Okay, this is one of those weirdy, wibbly, wobbly, spacey, wasty, lacy, casey, crazy things where it's a lot further in one direction than the other, and it just doesn't work. Anyway, Sir Croakington is dead. But fortunately, Sir Croakington is still being helped out by that secret Order of Time people from Proving Ground 6. So she just gets nicked back into a timeline where she wasn't so incredibly stupid. And that's what happens. Okay, so in this scenario, before you even begin the main part of the adventure, which we still haven't done, we haven't really made any progress on this adventure at all, you can screw yourself by leaving your friend to die, or by walking along an impossibly long and impossibly short corridor for no reason at all. Doing both of those things kills you and makes you mad. Although to do those things, you are probably already mad. Anyhow, we're about 52 minutes, so I don't really think we have enough time to zoop forward to the actual adventure. So next time, we'll try to not die so quickly. But until then, farewell, fellow adventurers.